Let's pray. Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy. And we're here right now because we have hope in you. Give us attentive hearts to you, Jesus. I pray you would, by your grace, you would speak through me. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Mike, wow, like that was incredible to hear that testimony from Mike about his dad. And like we just can't take things like that for granted, right? When God shows up. But Mike mentioned something just real quick that you might have missed, where he said like when he's the type of person who shoves stuff down. And he said, and that's not healthy. I think we hear that all the time, like, oh, you shouldn't shove stuff down. It's not healthy. A lot of times our solutions to things like that is, oh, well, you should be more vulnerable to somebody. You should talk to somebody about it. You should get a sponsor or a counselor. If your solutions for your problems are just a list of things that are just like what somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus would do, like it's probably not a complete list, right? It's not that counseling's bad or opening up about your feelings is bad. It's that as Christians, we believe like Jesus has got the best answers, right? We believe real life is in Jesus. So we don't always know how to get to him with our junk. But at least at the outset, we got to say, like, well, I believe Jesus can get involved with my problems, right? Like, as a Christian, one of the ways we know we're a Christian is that, like, when we got problems, it's not that we don't have any problems, it's that we take our problems to Jesus and work on them with him, right? So today I want to talk to you guys about when you got dark stuff inside of you, like, what are we supposed to do with that as Christians? And we've got some examples in the Bible. I'm going to take us to one of them. But first, I want to put up the screen of this, like, kind of terrifying spot in the ocean. Because some of us, I think, have, not some of us, we all have spots in our heart that feel like this. It feels like when you see a big hole that somehow the ocean is, like, pouring into, it makes you feel like, I don't want to get that close to that. Because if I get close to that, it feels like it's going to suck me in. And it feels like it's going to destroy me. It's safer to stay out of that. And I think some of us have got dark corners in our heart where something really sad happened to us, or something really unjust happened to us, or we were a victim, or we made somebody else a victim, or we feel like God betrayed us, or there's something in us that's like, ooh, that's a dangerous zone. I'm just going to go away from that. I'm going to either act like it wasn't so bad or have some catchphrase over the top of it, but I'm not going to go near it. It's not the approach that we see in Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is our psalm today. We're talking about praying through the Psalms. We're going to read this psalm. It's 18 verses. It's a lot of verses. It's not a very common one to probably get talked about, because it doesn't wrap stuff up in a pretty bow. And when we're talking about praying the Psalms, some of these verses, you're going to feel awkward if you were going to say them to God yourself. You're going to feel like, oh, I think I'm wrong to say this sort of thing. Or even I'm wrong to feel this sort of thing. So as we're reading it, the first kind of pass of it, we'll talk about it, but the first pass of it I want you to think about is, can I go from what this guy is saying, which this guy, it says in the little footnotes or the little top notes about Haman, the Ezraite, he might have been like Samuel the prophet's grandson. There's a little bit of debate about who is this guy. But whoever he is, he had a rough life. And as we read this, I want you to try to find out, is any of this in my heart as we read it, okay? Is any of this in my heart towards God? So verse 1 says, Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. I mean, that's similar to, hold on just a second. So that's similar to a song we were just singing about, like day and night, like praying. And there's this declaration at the beginning, like salvation for me is from God, right? So there's a conviction. He's a believer, right? Kind of remember that as we go through this. So verse 2, may my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry, like listen to me. Verse 3, I am overwhelmed with troubles. Some of us, we come into the church building and we act like different people, right? Like sometimes I feel like I don't get to know people. I get to know like the Sunday morning version of people. I won't make you guys raise your hands. I don't want to get judgmental about like, well, that person didn't raise their hand or something, right? Like, but it's hard to be our real selves. We come into church and something about it makes it feel like we need to act like we have it together. Some of us might have said today we had a hard week. It's a little bit hard on our pride to say like, I'm overwhelmed. I feel like I'm in trouble and I can't handle it. Probably nobody said that to anybody this week in the hallway. Maybe the hallway is not the right place for those conversations, but if you feel this way and you're a Christian and you never get to say it, like you're not quite fitting with this verse, right? Like this guy's talking and he's saying it. He's saying, I feel like my life's overwhelming. I can't handle it. My life draws near to death. Verse 4. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like one without strength, right? So he's saying like, I feel like I'm on my deathbed or on hospice is what he feels like. Verse 5. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. I'm going to pause this for a second. Haman, this guy writing it, or He-Man, or however you pronounce his name, like, he doesn't understand everything about heaven and the afterlife. It's going to get real clear as he goes on. So he's got all this struggle with God, and even though he believes in God, he's got a lot of truth about God that he doesn't know. Even though he believes about God, he's got a lot of truth about God that he doesn't know or understand. Now, Jesus has told us a whole bunch of truth that this guy didn't have access to. So we do know stuff that this guy didn't know. But I'm also going to tell you that you're going to go through moments in your life where things don't make sense and they're really hard. And one of the truths about me and about you is like we don't know all the facts. There's stuff that seems really unfair, really cruel, and a piece of the puzzle is we just actually don't know all the information. And it's a big one that he's missing, right? He doesn't know that there's an afterlife. Well, like that makes things different, right? But when you're going through something hard, you might know that there's an afterlife, but I bet there's something about God that you don't know, right? But he's bringing it all to God, right? Like this doesn't make any sense to me. Verse 6. You talking to God, you have put me in the lowest pit. In the darkest depths, right? There's some like audacity here, right? Like the way he's talking to God. Like, is this allowed to talk this way? Verse 7, your wrath, like your punishing anger, lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. I don't know if you guys have been to the ocean. I don't know if you've been around big waves. It's not even big waves, right, for ocean's sake, right? But, like, the ocean can make you realize, like, you're not strong. It can just overwhelm you and put you wherever it wants to put you. This guy feels like his life is battered around like that, right? Like he's overwhelmed, and he's blaming God, right? Verse 8, I am confined and cannot escape. Some of us have been in cells where we feel physically that way. Others of us have felt that way in our heart, right? Stuck in tight and we can't get out. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. So it's not like he's forgetting about God, and it's not like everything's rosy in 5 minutes either. Verse 10. You show your wonders to the dead. Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Here again, he's talking about like he doesn't understand about the afterlife. Verse 11, same idea here for a few verses. Is your love declared in the grave? Your faithfulness in destruction? He's got all these questions because he doesn't know about life with God after death. Verse 12, are your wonders known in the place of darkness or your righteousness in the deeds, your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? So he's trying to argue with God about like, you need to take care of me now. Because all I've got is this life on earth. Verse 13. But I cry out to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Verse 14. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? I'm going to pause this there for a second. I want you to really check in your own heart. Have you had a time in your life where you had this feeling towards God? Where you feel like, God, why won't you do what I need? Why won't you be there like I need? Why am I so far away from you? So this guy's in that like dark spot of loneliness, right? Verse 15. From my youth, where's all this depression coming from? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. So my guess is this guy has not been healthy, right? And if you think it's hard, I mean, it's hard. I don't even understand some of the physical things that folks have gone through in our church, right? Like we've had some debilitating diseases. But then you think about what is it like to be like 5,000 years ago and have diseases, right? I mean, like rough, right? This guy's probably had a really rough, painful life. He says, I've borne your terrors and I'm in despair. Despair is like about as bad as it gets, right? I mean, that's like depression, like amped up, right? Like that's as bad as it gets. No hope, right? He's feeling like it's hopeless. Verse 16, your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. Verse 17, all day long, talking about God's terrors, have surrounded me like a flood. They've completely engulfed me. Like as we're reading this, you're like, man, this is a lot, right? Like this is just on and on and dark and dark. And some of you are like, I'm ready to be done. I'm ready to turn the channel, right? Like if this, I'd be listening to a different thing on Spotify or whatever, right? Like this has gone on too long. It's too depressing, right? And a lot of us in our own hearts, there's junk like this going around, but it's so depressing, we just like close the door and go to a different room. I think one of the reasons we close the door is we're worried about what's about to happen. So let's read this next verse. You have taken from me my friend and neighbor. So there's some death of somebody that he loves. And he feels like God's to blame. So he's had this hard, probably physically painful life, but now somebody that he was really close to is gone. Here's what's so bad about this whole psalm, in my opinion. It's darkness is my closest friend. That's the end of the psalm. If you're not flipping around your Bible, you don't know that. Like, that's the end, right? Like, Kindle will do this too, right? Like, it's the end of the book. You didn't realize it. It's the end of this whole psalm. Like, that's all we get from this guy in the psalm. It ends with darkness is my closest friend. Like, how is that in the Bible, right? I mean, most of us would expect, like, a flip-flop, right? We want it to start here and end with verse 1 about, like, God's my Savior. But this one starts with God's my Savior, and here's how all my life's been ruined, and God, I blame you. And oh, by the way, like as hard as it's been, at least I had a friend, but now you've taken them. And the only friend I have left is darkness, right? It's like, this is why we keep those doors closed, right? We're afraid that there's no bottom to the hole, right? We're afraid if we stick our head in, we'll just drop, and that it'll just, there's nothing that's going to catch us, right? So we bottle up the darkness. But that's not what this guy does. Did you notice that? Like, we'll just stay here with this slide for a little bit. All scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, instructing, training in righteousness, right? Rebuking. So Psalm 88, like, has a purpose. I wouldn't say all scripture is like pull out a verse and try to do it every day, right? Like we're not trying to like stir up feelings of despair or stir up anger towards God, right? But there's something this psalm has to teach us. One of the things right out of the gate is that like this guy can talk this way to God and God includes it, right? In these psalms of worship and prayer. That like no matter how dark things are in your heart, that's not a reason not to have a conversation with God. And if you're mad at God because someone you love isn't here on earth anymore, you can have a conversation with God about it. You have a conversation with God where maybe if you were talking to somebody else like this, they would hit you in the face, right? You know, like, why are you blaming me about all this, right? God knows that this guy isn't just talking crazy, he's talking out of a broken heart. He's really struggling with despair, with like utter darkness, But he's saying, every day I'm still showing up and talking to you about it, God. And he brings all that darkness and he has a conversation with God about it. I do want to say also, like, it wasn't just, like I said, a few sentences to God and God solved it all. There are some psalms like that. I could have taken you to happier psalms, right? Where, like, get dark and then they get out of it pretty quick. They're easier, right? But I'm only 39 years old. I've lived long enough, though, to know that, like, not every sad thing gets wrapped up quick in your life, right? And you can be trying to follow God, and it doesn't mean it's all easy answers for you, right? And I know some of us, myself included, had this temptation when Mike Sanders was talking about, like, why didn't God do that for my loved one, right? And that's because Satan doesn't ever miss a chance, right? He wants to turn every victory into some sort of defeat for somebody in the room, right? Whereas we should be trusting how powerful God is, how loving God is, of, like, as a church, we prayed alongside Mike, right? And God healed his dad. But Satan wants to come right in, right, and make that a negative or make that a despair. The proper thing isn't to just shove that down and be like, whoop, I better never let God know I thought that. God knows that you thought it, right? The proper thing is, like, take that to God and be like, here's the ugliness in me. Let's have a conversation about it, right? So I want to give us this picture here. I want to talk about belief a little bit. So this picture is just of a kid, right? Any kid, or it could be any kid up here. I think sometimes we feel like we should be adults with God or how we interact with him. Whereas, like, our real state, if we're healthy, is, like, to realize, like, we're just kids with our Heavenly Father, right? And here's a couple of things that kids are prone to be better at than adults. Not every kid and not every adult, but kids have an easier time with simplicity, right? Have a singular focus to not be caught up in a lot of stuff. I heard somebody talking earlier today about my life was easier when I had a lot less stuff and things and people in it. It was easier to be devoted to God. And that's the reality of simplicity, right? Like, when there's less around you, it's downhill to be like, here's all of me. I didn't have to pick up a lot, right? Like, I could hold it in one hand, right? Here's my whole life, right? Kids are like that, right? Like, they can come with a single focus. And that's why kids bounce back so quickly from stuff, right? They can have a full conversation about a deep thing, but they've got a pretty pure heart. Pure not just in, like, innocence, but pure in, like, I can put my whole heart towards something. Adults get kind of weighed down and splintered and split apart, and it's hard for us to trust our whole heart in a conversation. But a kid can do that. And I think Haman or He-Man or however you pronounce this guy's name in Psalm 88, like, he's putting his whole heart out there to God. There's a simplicity there, like a purity there. Also, something kids can be pretty good at is a kid will be vulnerable or courageous with the things they talk about, right? The kids will bring up stuff that adults would be scared to bring up, right? And sometimes it's that kids are, like, naively not aware of, like, the dynamics at play. But I think we do them discredit when we say, like, that's only deal there. I actually think kids have some more courage, right? And where do they get their courage from? Kids have an easier time trusting the people they're around. Like, they believe that the person they're talking to has goodness towards them, right? As adults, we tend to have this, like, jaded view because we've been hurt by a bunch of people. It's hard for us to trust. And so it's hard to have courage. But if you will come to God with simplicity and courage and say, this is the ugliness of me. This is all of me, darkness included. I'm going to lay it at your feet, Jesus. I think we can get to a conviction. I think if you'll go through life and go through sad things that way and you keep talking to Jesus, I think you'll get out on the other side of it where you trust that God's good. This is a pretty deep point. I'm going to have a hard time getting it across to you, and I've just got a few minutes. George MacDonald's got this book, Fantasies. It's from the 1800s. It's really good, but it's this, like, imaginative look at the same idea that when you go through life, he talks about, like, deepest truths, like, to know something that's really true at a deep level, it's a joyous thing. But he talks about like joy can't open some of those doors to those truths. He says that only sorrow can do that. And as you go through life, some of us have been hurt so bad and we didn't combine it with faith. And so it doesn't open up any truth for us, right? It just keeps the truth from us. It blinds us. But if you'll go through something really sad and you'll keep saying like, I'm going to keep showing up. Like the guy in this psalm, he keeps showing up even though he's so sad. If you say, God, I'm going to keep showing up, God will bring you through that, not necessarily with the healing, not necessarily with the comfort of like everything in the outside working out. But I've seen it firsthand, like God will bring you through with a conviction that God is your good father. And when you have a conviction like James will talk about, end of James 1, about like every good gift is from our Heavenly Father who doesn't change like the shifting shadows, right? You start to have this trust and this courage where you can go into dark places in your heart and go to there with God. It becomes healthy to bring that to God. So I want to put up this slide of Hebrews and this little anchor. So the book of Hebrews, if you're going through something hard and you're like, I need a place to read, I can remember I got really, just the night where I felt really alone, very hurt, very disillusioned, super sad. And I got in my car, and I never had this experience before. I got in my car and I felt like too sad to drive, right? Like I'm just stuck in a parking lot. I don't know if you've ever had stuff like that, right? Where it's just like the emotion's so strong, you're like, I can't function. I just am glad I'm not in a room with people anymore, right? And then, but now that I'm not, I'm like spent. So I sat in this parking lot and I just read most of Hebrews because I knew Hebrews talked a lot about suffering. And I just felt like, well, that's where I'm gonna go. And here's what I can tell you about the book of Hebrews is there's a lot there. In Hebrews 6, it talks about this anchor thing. Before that, it talks about like you got to do the right thing over and over with Jesus, submit to Jesus to get mature, right? So if you're at a spot where you're like, I don't really want to obey Jesus, I know some stuff I should be doing, but like I got a better plan, like Hebrews might not be so helpful for you. But like if you're at a spot where you're like, I want to get mature and I can't handle myself, Hebrews in chapter 6 will talk about Jesus being an anchor for our soul that holds us, right? Through the storm. And I'm going to talk about Hebrews 11 here in just a minute. That's going to be our big finale. But I want to tell you one other little story real quick, give you one more tip about this stuff. So here's my story. I was working on a shower in our house that all of a sudden the pressure on the shower stopped working. And I am not a plumber, but like I can swap parts. So like as long as I can take something out and just repeat with a new part, that's what I tried to do. So I watch a little YouTube video, swap out the little distributor thing. This is just a single valve. I don't really know what I'm talking about. But I swap this part out, and then it worked for, or sorry, I swap it out. It seems like it's going to work at first. Like you turn it on, but the hot water still had no pressure. And it was like slightly better than it had been. But here's the thing. Like I skipped one step from the YouTube video that I'd watched, right? And the reason I skipped it is I was doing this all by myself at my house. Nobody else was home because I had to turn the water off, so I thought like this is the right time to do it. But because I was by myself, the last step was like when you have all the pipe apart and it's just this bare pipe, like you need to turn the water back on, and I don't know if they call it bleed the pipe, I don't know what they call it, but like basically let stuff like shoot out in case there's something clogging it up, like let the stuff shoot out of it. The old part I took out looked really old. I thought, like, I think that's the problem. I don't want to turn the water back on in my basement, run up here with the water shooting out. Like, I can't really do this by myself. I could wait till someone gets home and get help, but I think it's better to just do it all right now and skip the last step, right? So, like, I know, obviously, we know the story's going, but before you're like, Jake's dumb. I mean, that's true, but think about your own life, and then you get the answer for how to fix your problem, and you do all the steps you can do by yourself, and then you just hope that that's enough. I don't want to wait and have to ask somebody else for help. Like, I don't want to be patient and vulnerable. I want to fix it myself right now. Does anybody relate to that? Right. So put it all back together, exact same problem, right? So then I have to wait till Chrissy gets home, take it all apart again, and then have her turn on the water and like use my little paper plate trick that YouTube showed me so it doesn't like flood inside the wall. And so out pops, we got a picture of this, out pops this like, this pops out of my pipe, this little tiny brass bolt somehow was just floating around in my house and decided to go up to where the shower hot water was. So like that flew out. Like as soon as that flew out, I was like, well, I could tell why the new part did not help the pressure, right? Like it's hard for the new part to fix it when you have like a random bolt in your plumbing. Super clear once it's done, right? In your life today, my guess is some of you are like, I'll go home and I'll pray some Psalm 88. I'll go home and be vulnerable with God. I'll do whatever God asks me to do as long as it doesn't involve talking to another person and as long as it doesn't involve being patient for my problem to be fixed. So, thanks, John Mark. Okay, so let John Mark do that emphasis. So, last little thought for you comes from Hebrews 11, and we're going to wrap this up. Hebrews 11, all of Hebrews talks a lot about faith, and it talks a lot about patience. And when you're going through suffering, James kind of comes up with the same idea, actually, faith and patience. When you're going through suffering, we don't want to hear that, right? Especially the patience word. But on the faith word, here's what Hebrews 11, 6 says. It says, talking about Enoch, and it says that he pleased God. And how did he please God? He had faith. And it says faith is being certain that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So like that's what the writer of Psalm 88 had like in spades, right? Like he had a lot of mess in his life, probably physically, certainly emotionally. Like he's very depressed, right? But he had faith that if he took himself to God, God would have something good for him. Like he's earnestly seeking God because he has a conviction, like that's the good path. And when you're going through something really dark, you have to hold on by faith, not by sight. That like God has something good for you if you will keep seeking him. So if the next thing God tells you to do is, I won't fix you until you call this other person up and ask them to pray for you, like, that's probably good for you, right? Like maybe Jesus is trying to do more than just solve one problem. Maybe he's trying to give you a real friend, right? But just trust. You don't have to figure out, you don't have to mastermind it. Just trust. So like if you earnestly seek him, he'll reward you, right? He'll have something good for you. And so this week when you're praying, you can take Psalms 88 or whatever psalm you're in, take your dark emotions that you're feeling, that you feel ashamed to even talk about, or you're scared to approach, like take those and say, Jesus, I think this is inside of me. Like, please help. I feel this way. I even feel angry at you. Like, it's not wrong to pray that way, right? To pray like, God, I think you're mean. Or God, I can't believe you didn't show up in this way. But don't stop talking to him. Don't cover it up. Talk it through with him and hold on to him. Like, he'll bring you to maybe not all the things you want, but he will bring you to the conviction that he is good if you stick with him. Let me close this in prayer. Jesus, I thank you that everything good we have in our life, it's a gift from you. You are our good Father. Help us this week to, like a little child, to trust that we can come to you, be honest, and get help from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.